So far, we've looked at the vision behind the programme, we've looked at the meat, the contents of the programme, and the final part of putting anything together in terms of a research programme is someone's got to pay for it. So the next couple of presentations are looking at the way that we're paying for it and what that means about the way that it's managed. Historically, Mobile VC has been very successful in bringing together industry and government funding to fund research programmes of mutual benefit to all parties. And David Delphi from EPSRC is going to talk about the mechanism we're using this time round, because in each of the five core programmes we've had over the history of Mobile VCE, it's changed slightly, and this time it's different again with a strategic partnership. And then Walter Sotterby will talk about the industrial interaction part of the story. David.
Thank you.
Walk
over, Walter. Sure.
I think it's when you take too long over one slide, it goes blue.
Oh, right. Is that a hint?
I was trying to work out what it was doing that assignment for.
It thinks you've gone to sleep, presumably. If the audience haven't, then the speaker perhaps has.
Okay, so it's the up and down.
Right, well, thank you very much. We started off with a vision, and there's now a long-forgotten Austrian Chancellor who, at the turn of the 20th century, so late 1899, was asked what his vision was for the 20th century, and his answer was, if I have visions, I go and see a doctor. I would disagree with him. I think, in fact, leadership requires vision. It requires foresight, and so I'm fully supportive of what the Mobile VC is trying to do here. Of course, I would say that, wouldn't I, since we're providing you with some money. I've got a couple of slides which really just give a quick intro to EPSRC, because this is an open meeting, and so I'm not necessarily talking to just the converted who have already bought into it. There are seven research councils in the UK. We are the one that essentially funds engineering, physical sciences, physics, chemistry, mathematics, and so on. We provide our funding to the academic, to the universities, but we try to provide funding in such a way that we can encourage the joining up of both academic endeavour and users, whether that be industry or whether that be government departments, whether it be the implementation of academic output into policy. We get our money in 3-year tranches. We've got $2.4 billion to spend between April 2008 and March 2011. And this is essentially how we've broken that $2.4 billion up. So this is our commitment over 3 years. The outer ring, area does not equal money, by the way. This is not a scale diagram. The outer ring is a series of cross-council programmes across all seven research councils, and the ones that EPSRC is responsible for are the ones that are actually in the coloured outer ring there. Digital economy is one that you may obviously be interested in, but we run one in energy, one in nanotechnology, and one in towards next generation healthcare. There are three other cross-council programmes which are listed in the text at the bottom corner. They're run by other research councils, though we contribute to them. One in environmental change, run by the Natural Environment Research Council. Global Uncertainties and Security, which is run by the ESRC, and the Economics and Social Sciences Research Council. And a one in Ageing and Health, which is run by the Medical Research Council. The money that we are putting into this programme, in fact, comes from part of that central core, that central pot, and it's the pot in sort of orange, which is called Towards Better Exploitation. And the next slide shows you that that pot, $482 million committed over the 3 years. The emphasis of the money that we're putting under this heading is to join academic researchers with industrial users. And so the processes or the things we fund through that, whether it be studentships, whether it be research projects, are intimately linked to industry. Our key strategies in doing that are to try to increase the number of business-focused skills that are being taught at universities, and we've, in the last year, just put a total of $250 million, our biggest ever commitment, into the creation of 44 doctoral training centres. These are large cohort centres training PhD students. There'll be some 2,000 students trained as a result of that. Very user focused. 19 of the 44 are in fact industrial doctorate centres, which are an extension of the old engineering doctorate centres, which you may be aware of, but spanning them out from just engineering to the whole of the physical sciences remit. We're also trying, where possible, to accelerate the exploitation of the outputs. We are not in the business of funding industrial development in universities. We're funding basic research, but where it is possible to pull that basic research through into user benefit, as I say, whether that's policy or whether it's application by an existing company or through the formation of a new company, we will try to provide a mechanism and a little bit of funding to help that occur. The knowledge transfer accounts is the mechanism by which we've given money to the universities to sort of do it off their own bat. We have follow-on funds and so on, which will provide an additional bit of money on the end of an existing research project, and there are lots of other schemes. One mechanism we are using and increasingly are using is strategic partnerships. Now, strategic partnerships are a formal arrangement between ourselves and either a single company or perhaps a consortium company in this instance, or a government department. It provides, as Sly says here, mutual benefits to the interests of both academia and the strategic partner, and the form of that benefit and the form of the interaction can really be almost anything. We try not to be constrictive or to constrain the form of those collaborations. It can be chairs, it can be research grants, training activities, anything. As long as it's, I've always said, as long as it's not illegal, we'll look at it. If it's immoral, we might think about it, but as long as it's not illegal, we will try to be flexible. These are some of the 30 strategic partnerships that we've got now. As you can see, some are with individual, single companies, some of the large boys, Pfizer, GSK, and so on. Some are government departments like DEFRA or the MOD. Some are consortia like the MVCE at the moment that we're talking about. The benefits of having strategic partnerships are obviously for both EPSRC, for the academic establishment, and for the user. For EPSRC, the benefit for us is that we're using the strategic partnerships first to try and identify areas in which we want the researchers to carry out work. Quite often, I would say, and I was an academic until 2 years ago, 18 months ago, so I can still be rude about them. Sometimes when you ask academics to come up with a grand challenge, you get a rather narrow view of what is a grand challenge. Quite often industry in one succinct sentence can present a grand challenge which is much more eye-catching and in fact is often much more challenging. I remember at the Transport Scientific Advisory Team, we were coming up with ideas for grand challenges, and there were some quite interesting technical ones from the civil engineers and so on. The guy from Arup said, as far as I'm concerned, what I want is a method to halve the cost and halve the time per mile of producing motorways. Now that, in one sentence, really identified something that would have an enormous benefit to the UK. It assists the academic community and stakeholders to work in collaboration. We, in effect, provide the oil, a little bit of money. It isn't a large amount of money, but we provide that oil which enables the interaction to start. We also hope that this strategic partnership will enable the opportunities for knowledge transfer, for translation of the research, to speed up. If we could shorten the route to market by 6 months, the benefit to UK PLC would be enormous. So that's the benefit to EPSRC. For users, and I mean, this is an excerpt view of the benefit to users, you may in fact differ or argue with me, and we can talk on that later. We perceive that the benefit to companies will be straightforward gearing on the funding. We effectively provide half of the funding for the programme. So it halves your costs. I think more importantly, what it provides or what we can provide, is access to a really well-tested peer review mechanism and a way of identifying where excellence exists in academia in the UK. Our people know the research base in the UK. We process 6,000 grants a year. You know, we know how to do this. There's a mechanism there and it's accessible for you. It also gives you access to really a very skilled base of people at EPSRC. They know the mechanisms, the way by which university research takes place. They know the key research groups. They are a unique resource if you're having problems trying to interact either with a particular university. I have strategic partnerships with key universities, and so I have a little bit of leverage, not much, but a little bit, £2.4 billion worth of little bit. But the staff really are a key resource. Liam Blackwell's hiding away in the corner over there together with the team. So if you have any particular questions on detail, Liam, I'm sure, could answer that. But otherwise, I'm happy to answer general questions. And then finally, what's the benefit for academia, the academics themselves? Well, in fact, I've got more benefit points for them. I know the academic, or we know the academic side slightly better. There are opportunities, as I said, to tackle real-world problems. And in fact, as I hinted earlier, I think sometimes the real-world problems that are put forward are academically more challenging often than the ones that bubble up spontaneously within departments. It gives the academics access to an increased funding pool. Over the whole period of our strategic partnerships, we've brought real cash, extra cash, into the universities, totaling just under £100 million so far from the strategic partners. For the last 3 years, it's been £15 million. It also brings enormous amounts of in-kind contribution, multi-hundred million pounds worth of access to in-kind resource. And so that really is a significant benefit for the universities and the individual academic partners. It brings the academic in contact with a partner who actually does want to work with academia. Sometimes, to be fair to academics, when they've got a good idea, it's damned hard finding a partner who's prepared to work with them. You've already signed up to this VCE, to this strategic partnership. We know that you want to work with us or with the academics. It provides a quick route to exploitation for those outputs, because you're already there, you're in the area, you're trying, in fact, to access as much as possible the expertise that's in the academic arena. And overall, for academia as a whole, rather than just the individual academics involved in the programme, it increases the total level of resource available. What about the particular mobile VCE strategic partnership? It was signed on the 8th of February 2008. It's been going in a less formal way for more than a decade. So this is not starting from scratch. It's really starting from a base where we know you, you know us, and we know how to work together. And I think that's why it's as effective and efficient as it is. You already know what the philosophy of the programme is, so I don't need to speed that up or speak to that. The only point I would emphasise is the bottom paragraph on this slide. The key point is, as far as EPSRC is concerned, that the research work that is being undertaken through this mechanism is absolutely world class. As I said, we're not in the business, through this partnership, of doing development for industry. You're much better at it. Universities are very bad at doing development. They never hit the timescales. Not that industry, I ever did when I was in industry either, but never mind. But they slip even further than you do. We're not in the business of doing development. We're in the business of really doing world-class research, but enabling the best researchers in the UK to really work with the best industrial and user partners in the world, to the benefit of UK PLC, let's be just be parochial about that, but also to the benefit of the world as a whole, because the challenges that we've just heard about are not just unique to the UK. The benefits will be felt internationally if we can reach, if we can achieve them. The programmes themselves, you've already heard about, so I don't need to talk about them. What I've done on this slide, though, is highlight the EPSRC contribution to those programmes. I notice it says they start on the 1st of January 2009. I think some sneaked in under the year deadline, and some started in late 2008. Note, I said we're also very flexible about the form of the strategic partnership. It doesn't have to be exactly 50-50. The bottom one, we're actually paying, I noticed, 57% of the total cost. So we're flexible in as many ways as we can. So, to summarise, what do I hope, or what does EPSRC hope, this Core 5 research programme will deliver? I notice we've got the definite will, not hope. It will deliver long-term world-class research. That has to be, from EPSRC's point of view, the first priority. And yours. Right. It has to provide strategic value for the future of the industry that is the co-signatory of this strategic partnership. It has to tackle problems that you as an industry really feel are important and significant long-term challenges. It has to provide some form of benefit for this 10-year period of involvement with you, which has really, I think, resulted in an intimate relationship. Should never say things like that, it'll get reported in the Times Higher and then the wrong way. But I would say intimate, a really good intimate working relationship between academics, between EPSRC and the industry. I think we really understand one another in this area, and so we've got to try to pull some value out of what has been a significant effort on everybody's part over the last decade. Finally, hopefully, it will enable you, the business partners, and, to be honest, the academics who are involved, to stay ahead of university trends, to drive the industry rather than respond to what is happening. That's our vision of what EPSRC wants to get from strategic partnerships, and I have got every confidence on the basis of a decade of interaction with you that we'll achieve that. I'm happy to answer any general questions about EPSRC, but in any good boss fashion, if there's anything hard, I'll refer it to Liam, but thank you very much.